Looking to pick up the next home run king?
High drive left field. Going back. Boom. Stand. Baby.
Or are you still trying to figure out who some of your guys are?
Paul Goldschmidt, and that ball is gone. Oh, wow. Upper deck.
Whether you're sifting through the waiver wire for sleepers or just trying to keep your team in the race.
He went onto the rolled up tarp. What a play by Nolan Arenado.
We've got your bases covered.
At the wall, leaping. Oh, a play! George Springer has just kept this game tied in the bottom of the 10th.
It's the Can of Corn Cast with Andy Greenberg on ArizonaSports.com.
My, oh my!
Welcome in, everybody. This is another edition of the Can of Corn Cast. I'm Andy Greenberg. Can of corn, easy fly ball in the outfield, and we make it easy for you to win at fantasy baseball. And like always, we get it started with the starting five.
The starting five.
The stretch and the pitch. Swing and a fly ball deep into right center field. Guyer on the run going back, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball. It may have gone into the Rays fish tank. Holy smoke, Nelson Cruz.
Hits his 18th home run of the season. Yeah, that is tied for the lead in the majors with the very most, 18 major league home runs, Nelson Cruz. But he is just third on our list of our top five overall hitters. Number one is the major league runs, homer tied, and RBIs leader, and it's Bryce Harper. He has just been mashing the ball this year. He and Nelson Cruz each have 18 home runs, Harper crushing it. Number two overall in hitting, Paul Goldschmidt of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Cruz is three. Josh Donaldson of the Toronto Blue Jays, he's number four, leads the AL in runs. Justin Upton of the San Diego Padres coming in at number five. As for the pitchers, number one overall, Max Scherzer. Talk a little bit more about him in just a moment. Felix Hernandez sitting at number two. The Major League ERA leader tied. Number three, Zach Greinke. Tied with number five on our list, Shelby Miller, with the number four overall pitcher, Sonny Gray. Now, depending on your innings pitched cutoff, either him or Chris Young is your AL ERA leader. Just depends on where you make that cutoff. Young hasn't pitched 50 innings yet. Gray over 60, so that's really up to you to decide. Now, here's where we're going to get in-depth. Now that we've gone through pretty much the first 2 months of the season, I'm not going to give you a ton of stats of guys that are definitely not going to be available. Like our top five hitters, top five pitchers, you're not going to find those guys available. And that's not why you're listening to this. You don't want to hear stats. You can read stats. You want to hear the guys that are hot. You want to know who's on fire. You want to know who you can either try to sell high or maybe buy on if they're not really owned. But sorry, everybody, but these guys are top-notch here. Number one of the last week, hottest hitters in the game, Josh Donaldson, 10 of his last 25, 5 homers, 10 RBIs, 11 runs. So he's really turned it around this season. Obviously, he's number four overall, leads the AL in runs scored, and had a really, really bad start to the season. Number two, hottest hitter in the last week, Prince Fielder, 15 of his last 31, 3 homers, 11 RBIs, 7 runs, and he is your AL hits, RBI, and batting average leader. Prince Fielder in Texas. Hey, a lot happens if you get a lot of time off, and which he did last year, so maybe just was better mentally prepared this year. Number three, Nolan Arenado, third baseman for the Rockies, 10 of his last 27, 3 homers, 11 ribbies, and 6 runs in the last week. Brian McCann, catcher. You don't often see catchers making this list. Also eligible at first base. He's 7 of his last 17, 4 homers, 9 RBIs, and 5 runs. And Andrew McCutchen, after a really slow start, finally turning it around. 11 of his last 26 for a 4.23 average, 2 homers last week, 6 ribbies, 6 runs. And the one thing that none of the other four people on this list have, a stolen base. There you go. Kutch coming back. As for your hottest pitchers, we look at the last 2 weeks of the season for the best pitchers in the game. Max Scherzer sits at number one, 3-0 in the last 2 weeks with 3 quality starts, 30 strikeouts and 22 innings pitched, a minuscule ERA of 0.41. Now, if you can do math like that, then you know he's only given up one earned run in his last 3 starts, a 0.77 whip. Number two of your hottest pitchers right now, Jacob deGrom of the New York Mets. He's 2-0 in his last 3 starts, all quality. 21 and a third innings, 26 strikeouts, a 1.27 ERA, 61 whip. That'd be a 0.61 whip. Chris Sale comes in at number three, 1-1 in his last 3 starts, all 3 quality starts as well. 23 and two-thirds innings, 29 strikeouts. Chris Archer, number four, he's 2-0, 2 quality starts in 19 and one-thirds innings, 24 strikeouts. And actually, Remember that Nelson Cruz home run? That was off Brad Boxberger in the top of the ninth of a 0-0 game in which Chris Archer pitched those first eight innings, shutting down the Mariners. And they bring in Boxberger, and Cruz puts it into the Ray tank. So sorry about that, Chris Archer, but you did get the quality start and a hefty amount of strikeouts in that. Number five, Corey Kluber. This is incredible. His numbers, by the way, 2-0 in his last three starts, three quality starts. 32 strikeouts in 24 innings. I'll say it again. He has 32 strikeouts in 24 innings. A 1.88 ERA and a 0.96 whip. And that whip is from the hits he's giving up because he's only walked two batters. He's only walked two batters in that stretch. 32 strikeouts, two walks. Corey Kluber, the Major League innings pitched and strikeouts leader. But I'll just say it again because this is just amazing. In his last three starts in 24 innings, Corey Kluber has struck out 32 and walked two. Unbelievable. Way to go, Kluber. Really living up to that Cy Young Award as people were kind of debating, well, should I go to Kluber? Should I go to Felix Hernandez? Obviously, not going to lie, a little bit biased because I love Felix. He's my favorite player. I want him to win that award, but he didn't. But Kluber proving this year that 2014 was not a fluke, and he is pitching really, really well. Coming up next, the Texas Rangers just brought somebody up, and he is already hitting home runs. And we'll debate whether or not you should pick him up on your fantasy team. I'll give you the pros, I'll give you the cons, and I will give you the verdict. That's coming up. This is the Can of Corncast. I'm Andy Greenberg.
It's the Can of Corncast with Andy Greenberg on ArizonaSports.com.
Chugging right along on the Can of Corncast. Andy Greenberg here with you. Find me many different ways online. Let's interact. Let's talk fantasy baseball. Let's do it. Twitter at CanofCorn987. Or Facebook.com/SportsAndyLikes. I'm Andy. I like sports. It's a lot of fun. It's really my podcast home base for all the different stuff that I've had going on. You can also find me on ArizonaSports.com. Just search Andy Greenberg or search Can of Corncast, or it just might be right there on the front page. Very exciting. I got my blog with that. Be sure to listen. If you got the podcast app, that's even better. You can rate, review, and subscribe. Can of Corncast, just search Andy Greenberg and it'll be right there. Easy peasy. Time for a little dugout chatter. And everybody is talking about Josh Hamilton this week. And for good reason. Here's what he did on Friday.
Hamilton, a drive to right. There it goes. Goodbye. There's number two coming up. Way back. Goodbye.
That is two home runs off of two knuckleballs. But you can't really think, oh, he's only going to hit home runs off of knuckleballs, because that's just ridiculous. So the big question now, is Josh Hamilton worth a spot on your roster? And I'm going to start with all the no's. And no, he's not, because we have no idea what's about to happen. This could be just a fluke. He's hitting knuckleball home runs over the fence. I don't know. Yeah, he's been out of baseball too long. It's just he sat out last year in the whole ordeal. He's been out for baseball too. He's just, since they got that big contract, it's just all, I think he's just washed up. It's too much pressure. The power's not there. Come on. Excuses, excuses, excuses. If anybody tries to tell you what I just said, just turn around, walk the other way, and tell them no. Because that's all completely ridiculous. It really is. Is Josh Hamilton worth the pickup? Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a power-hitting outfielder. This is a guy that's going to – I bet he hits 20 home runs this year. He's going to hit 20 home runs. 70 to 75 RBIs, 20 home runs. That's a guess. That's pretty damn good. Here's why you should pick him up. Number one, he is a career 292 hitter. And you might say, well, that 2010 season where he hit over 350, that's the outlier. You can't count that. Okay. That's totally fine. Let's cut that out. Tip, 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 tip. Did the math. Career 280 hitter. Still pretty darn good. Still worth having on your fantasy team. I would expect him to finish the season at 280. That's very reasonable. Maybe a little on the high end. 275, I think, is a more realistic expectation. 280, pretty darn good, though. Still has the power, as evidenced last night. Still has that quick bat. Oh, boy. Did you see him turn on those knuckleballs? That bat, woo, right through the zone. Hit him out to right field. He's back where he's most comfortable, and I think this is huge. This is huge. He's back in Texas where he had the best seasons of his life, where he was the most comfortable, where he really had that success in the majors, where people love him. They love him there. In L.A., there's so much pressure to live up to that contract. The fans didn't love him in L.A. nearly as much as they do in Texas, so there's no more pressure from the fans. He's comfortable. He's in a comfortable situation. And people don't really think about this. You don't hear analysts say, oh, yeah, well, it was a lot more comfortable in that stadium with this team, with those fans. You don't hear it because they just talk about numbers. The numbers are a product of Hamilton feeling like he's in the right place and just feeling that positive energy from the fans whenever he's there, because he did not get that in L.A. Expectations were way too high. And right now, he's number one on the depth chart in left field. Delino DeShields Jr., who is actually doing pretty well, will be put at that fourth outfielder. He's a great pinch runner. He can play second base, too. They'll keep him as the fourth outfield guy. And if Prince Fielder is going to play first base, you put Hamilton at DH. DeShields in the outfield works out really well. And much like last year, Texas continues to have these awful injury issues. Plenty of guys on the DL, and I think I counted at least 12 or 13 guys from the Rangers that are on the DL. So there's definitely going to be a place for Hamilton to play. So what's the verdict? Pick up Josh Hamilton. Absolutely. And that actually leads me right into the free agent pool. Swimming around in that shallow end is Josh Hamilton, 60% owned. And like I said, he's got the potential to put up the all-star numbers. Definitely worth the flyer. I put him on my team. I already had somebody on the bench. I already got a couple bench guys. I dropped Phil Hughes to pick up Josh Hamilton. Phil Hughes, this is so great. Phil Hughes in April had an ERA of 4.55 and went 0-4. Phil Hughes in May, ERA of 4.64 and went 4-0. So that just tells you really how much wins and losses really mean. And in my league, where I don't count wins and losses, I count quality starts, of which he hasn't really given me that many. Especially with such a high ERA, it was time for me to get rid of Phil Hughes, and I'm so happy that I was able to pick up Josh Hamilton. And I was the only one that tried to pick him up. We've got the free agent acquisition budget, so if somebody else tries to pick up the same player as you, you'll see whether or not they tried and failed because you got them, so you can bid on that player. So I threw a hypothetical dollar down, on Josh Hamilton, as I figured maybe someone's going to try to get that free ad, and I'm going to get him. Because I'm willing to spend my hypothetical dollar. Nobody else tried. So, Josh Hamilton, welcome to my outfield. Swimming around the free agent pool, that's guys between 25 and 50% owned, is Eduardo Rodriguez. He had one absolutely fantastic start for the Red Sox, 7 2/3 innings, 7 strikeouts, 3 hits, 2 walks, plus pretty damn good MLB numbers, 4-3-8 starts, 44 strikeouts and 48 1/3 innings, and only 7 walks. Yeah, batting average against kind of high, 256, but that whip is so low because he hardly walks anybody. First start was at Texas. The next one's going to be at home against Minnesota. They're pretty equal in terms of runs scored and team batting average. So might as well take the flyer, throw him out there. Got a career 3.23 ERA in the minors, which is good. That's pretty good. And a heck of a lot of hype behind him. So Eduardo Rodriguez, 35% owned starting pitcher for the Boston Red Sox again, will pitch later this week against Minnesota. If you're looking in the deep end of the free agent pool, and especially if you're in the need for somebody that can play more than one position, maybe first and second base, how about Logan Forsyth of the Tampa Bay Rays? James Loney is out. So Forsyth is getting his starts at first base. He's also eligible at second, of course, where I think he would probably be best on your team. First base depth is pretty darn good. Not so much with second base. Really, your options right now, if you're looking at the free agent wire, Logan Forsyth or Joe Panik, might as well take the guy that you know is going to start every day in Forsyth, hitting .293, 5 homers, 21 RBIs. That's pretty good, especially if you really have nothing at second base, if you got a guy on the DL or if you've been having that carousel all year. Why don't you take a run on Logan Forsyth? 19% owned, should be available in your league. And swimming around in the Chase Field pool out there in right center field, it's Chase Anderson, 25% owned. So I'm recording this on Saturday, May 30th. If you're listening to me on Saturday or even Sunday morning, go pick up Chase Anderson for a start in Milwaukee. He's going to start Sunday for the D-backs against the Brewers at Miller Park. Current Brewers hitting just .222 off of him. And then here's my favorite stat about Chase Anderson. This year, he only has two starts where he's given up more than two earned runs. May 9th against the Padres, he gave up five. And then his first start of the year, April 10th against the Dodgers, he gave up three. And in his last five outings, he's given up five runs. So he's averaged one earned run per outing his last five starts. And if once he makes it through the Brewers, he will start again against the Mets next week at home. Quick recap. Free agent pool, shallow end, you got Josh Hamilton, 60% owned. Swimming around, Eduardo Rodriguez, 35% owned. Deep end, Logan Forsyth, 19%. And in the Chase Field pool out in right center field, it's Chase Anderson, 25% owned. Coming up next, we'll step into the on-deck circle. Who is Chase Anderson facing? We'll talk about him next. He's getting called up from AA, plus one of Chase Anderson's future teammates. We'll cover that in the on-deck circle. That's next on the Can of Corncast. I'm Andy Greenberg.
It's the Can of Corncast with Andy Greenberg on Arizonasports.com.
Grab a bat and let's step into the on-deck circle on the Can of Corncast. Andy Greenberg here with you. The on-deck circle where we check out guys that are on their way to the majors or maybe might be there, but very much so under the radar. Let's take a look first at Tyler Wagner, starting pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. Not even there if you try to find him on Yahoo Leagues, because you can't. The Brewers are calling him up from AA to take a start on Sunday against the D-backs. I think that's going to be a good gauge to see how he'll do in the future, as the Diamondbacks are actually second in the National League and runs scored sixth overall. Tyler Wagner coming from AA Biloxi, the team on the 50-plus game road trip before their new stadium opens. Not even playing in AAA, but he's dominated his nine starts so far in AA. 5-1, 38 strikeouts in 53 and two-thirds innings. An ERA just a hair over 2 and a whip of 1.12. And my favorite thing about his line is he's only given up one home run. In 53 and two-thirds innings, he's given up one home run. So keep an eye on Tyler Wagner. Again, the on-deck circle, not necessarily guys to pick up. People you might want to put on your watch list, keep an eye on them. And if you start to see something good, jump on him or stash him in that NA spot if you can, like this guy. If you need help at catcher and you want to stash somebody, how about Peter O'Brien from the Arizona Diamondbacks? Right now just eligible at catcher in Yahoo Leagues, but he's been playing the outfield and a little first base in AAA. But the D-backs just lost Tuffy Goswich off to the DL, likely a torn ACL, which could mean he'll be out for quite a while. So, of course, as that news breaks, Reno goes and puts Peter O'Brien in at catcher last night, and he went and hit a solo homer, his 12th of the year. He's tied for the PCL lead in batting average with .343, one off the leader in RBIs with 46, two off the leader in second place in home runs with 12, of course, and seven off the hits leader. He also is in second place there with 58 hits. Defense, very suspect. But this is fantasy baseball. We don't count defense. We just care about what this guy does at the plate, and he is mashing. D-backs brought up Gerald Saltalamacchia instead because he's got the experience. He's a pretty good defender, not nearly as good as Tuffy, but he's just as bad at the plate as Tuffy is. And the thing is, D-backs, like I said, they're second in the league, in the National League, in runs scored. So they don't really need all the extra production at the plate. They probably would be better off with a better defensive catcher, but a bat like that, like O'Brien's, is not something to ignore. And for your reference, O'Brien acquired by the Diamondbacks in the Martin Prado trade last year at the deadline, and they kind of saw him as the catcher of the future, and he might have to be the catcher of right now, depending on what we get from Saltalamacchia and from Jordan Pacheco. Now, much like Pacheco, O'Brien doesn't have to play catcher. Pacheco can play third base. They could probably stick him at first if they really wanted to. O'Brien got a few reps at first, been playing a lot of outfield, though, so far, so it's possible that if they're going to give him a day off but they want to use his bat, they stick him in the outfield, put somebody else at catcher. So I think the Diamondbacks are going to call him up this year. I would be shocked if he's in the minor leagues the entire season with how well he's doing. I'd be very surprised if they waited until September, so definitely keep an eye on this guy. Again, his name is Peter O'Brien, catcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's it for this episode of the Can of Corncast. You guys made it through. Hopefully your fantasy team is a lot better off for listening to me here. Again, you can tweet me at canofcorn987. Check out my blog on arizonasports.com. and rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast app on your phone. Check it out, Can of Corncast. That's all you got to search, just the name of the show. Super easy like that. Anyways, thank you so much for listening, everybody. I'll be back next week, and until then, let's play ball!
The Can of Corncast is brought to you by ArizonaSports.com and 98.7 FM.
Hey, Lloyd, do some delivery for the truck to the airport.
Thank you very much.